Get your buns down to BillCurryFord.com or get your keister down to Bill Curry Ford on Dale Mabry. It's a mile north of the stadium. And Sean Sullivan will take very good care of you when he's not talking about the 2020 draft and what Jason Light should have done in the 2019 draft. He's making deals on Fords, and nobody does it better than Sean Sullivan.
Pin Chasers, they have their student holiday lane pass, which is just an incredible deal. Students, kindergarten through 12th grade, get 15 games of bowling for less than a dollar per game. Shoes are always free at Pin Chasers. Reload your pass anytime between now and January 7th, and then you'll get another 10 games for just $10, and those games never expire. Every day, there is a daily special at Pin Chasers. They have three locations. You can go to their website, see all the daily offers. Dollar Mania every Monday night. Just get to pinchasers.net, reserve a lane, book a holiday party. Pin Chasers, we love them too.
For a new Ford, make it Bill Curry, Tampa Bay's first family of Ford for over 60 years. At Bill Curry, our prices are better than good. They're the best, and they're right up front with our $5,000 best price guarantee. That's right, Bill Curry will meet or beat any Ford dealer's best offer or give you $5,000 cash. Shop our huge selection of new Fords, then get the lowest price, the best price, or we'll give you $5,000 cash. Only at Bill Curry Ford, located on Dale Mabry, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium.
Yeah. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again to the Ira Kaufman Podcast. You love him, the custodian of Canton, the king of Pasco County, the sage of Tampa Bay sports. He is our lovable Uncle Ira. Ira Kaufman. Ira, how are you doing this wonderful day?
I'm doing well, and you know, they say behind every good man there's a good woman. Well, behind every good man, there's another good man. And that man is Sean Sullivan. So I'm going to give Sean Sullivan a shout out. He runs the Bill Curry Ford operation a little north of the stadium, right on Dale Mabry. He is one heck of a Bucks fan. Now, I met this guy, Ozzie, from Sarasota. I thought he was a Buck fan. He pales in comparison to Sean Sullivan. Besides getting a car, and he'll give you the best deal in the world, you can talk Bucks with him, and you can talk 2020 draft, because he's knee-deep in that.
Oh, he loves the draft. That's like his hobby. He loves the draft.
And, you know, Sean, don't be crying any crocodile tears that the Bucks aren't picking in the top five, because if they were, that means they had a horrible season. And they haven't had a horrible season.
Horrible.
Now, Lee, that's going to lead me to my first point on this award-winning podcast.
What award, Ira? Where did you get this award?
Lee, whether they're 8-8 or 9-7, either way, even 9-7. Let's not go crazy and say this was a fantastic Buccaneer season.
No.
Well, let's not go crazy. Yeah. Let's keep perspective. They didn't make the postseason, and that's Bruce Arians' first goal. You know, in his first speech, he probably said, let's win a division. We'll get a home playoff game, guaranteed, because that's what most coaches say when they gather up the team, and it didn't happen. So you can't say it was a successful season, but it's a damn intriguing season.
Yes.
And you know what else it is? It's a fun season, because right now, they're an exciting football team.
They are.
When's the last time we said that about the Bucs?
Long time.
I mean, really?
Long time. And, of course, you know, it's Mr. Excitement. I mean, even the people that don't like Jameis nationally, they're saying, you got to watch this guy. I saw last night just Bonami Jones. And I don't think I've ever
He's talking about the Bucs?
Well, everybody is. I cannot think of anything he's ever written that I could cite for any reason, yay or nay. I don't know anything about him. I know he works for ESPN. That's all I know about him. But I saw this clip. I'm not a big Lebatard guy. I can't stand his show. Lebatard's a great writer.
That's the guy who has his father on the show.
Is that his father or is it some...
I think that's his father.
Okay, almost all those hollering shows I can't handle.
Right.
And they're predictable and they regurgitate the same takes all the time.
What does Guy Jones have to say?
Well, this Lebatard, he had this Jones on there. Bonami Jones, he said the red zone was made for Jameis Winston.
Well, not until this season. I'll say that. I think that's the biggest difference in this football team. In terms of scoring all these points, they're third in the league. They're right on the tail of the 49ers for the number two spot. Now, nobody's going to catch Baltimore because Jackson's unbelievable. He's the MVP. They got a much better defense than the Bucs do, Baltimore. Nobody talks about Baltimore's defense because Jackson's been so spectacular. It's a darn good defense. You know, not as good as New England or maybe even Buffalo. Buffalo's got a very underrated defense.
Yes, they do.
The difference is the red zone. Lee, we're not seeing Matt Gay. I got nothing against Matt Gay. He's had a good rookie season, but I don't want to see him every 5 minutes out on the field. They're getting 7 instead of 3. It's made all the difference.
Now, are you confusing the red zone to the red zone channel? That's what Bonamy Jones is referring to.
Oh, I'm talking about the red zone. you already got me going crazy with this Bonamy. Why is he talking about the red zone channel? Oh, my goodness. See, you got to be more explicit than that. You're usually known for being explicit, DeKemper. He's talking about the Bucks are must-viewing on the red zone channel?
On the red zone channel. I said the red zone channel is made for James.
Come on. See, you got me made going off. You got me going off on the red zone now, and it's the red zone channel. Well, you know what? Both points are right. They are must-see TV because you never know what James is going to do. Now, I went on with Roy, as I usually do, Spectrum Sports, and we had that little debate show. And, you know, it's only 2-3 minute show. One of the questions was about Jameis Winston. And one segment goes on the show, one goes on Twitter. The Winston thing went on Twitter. Had a nice vest on. Same one I got today. See, I don't change my clothes. Look, I changed my underwear.
too much information.
Thank you, sir. You know, so I spoke my piece first on this Twitter thing. And I spent a minute and a half saying, I'm falling on my sword. Roy, you've been defending Winston, as has Lee DeKemper, all season. Maybe all of Jameis' career, in fact. And that's why you go crazy when people say Joe Buck's fan is anti-Winston. You justifiably go crazy.
Patently inaccurate.
Absolutely inaccurate. And I basically said, I've come around. You've heard me say it, that if he did that Uber incident, which by all accounts he did, because nobody's saying he didn't, that I would look for another quarterback. I did say that last year. Things have changed. In my opinion, things have changed. What hasn't changed, he's throwing picks. That hasn't changed much. He's going to lead the league in interceptions. That's not a good thing, Lee.
No,
even in your mind, that's not a good thing.
No.
You know, and he might lead it by 5 or 6 over the next guy. And that's nothing to brag about. But the fact remains that he never dwells on the mistakes. Never. You know, he's strong of mind. And they're scoring a ton of points, and they're winning. That knocks out my main two arguments. You got to win, and where's the offense? You know, last year, they went up and down the field and averaged 24 points. Now they're close to 30 points. Red zone's been the big difference. If Cutter would have learned how to cash in the red zone, he'd still have a job.
Yeah, he'd still be here. You're right. And they're scoring points. That's the key thing. You set me up that one time. Like, I got some stats here. And you pulled out the page that the Bucks printed out for you about turnovers. And I should have came back with this one-liner. What's the record of teams who score more points than the other team? And it's all about the
and,
points.
And Lee, you know, let's dive a little deeper. Lousy ground game.
You could argue no ground game.
Or no ground game.
Yeah.
You know, but Arians doesn't know what to say at the podium about the ground game.
All he wants
to
say is, words.
Well, we still try to run. Well, that's not the answer. Yeah, you try to run, but how about running? Their longest gain was 6 yards, Lee, last week. 29 rushing attempts. 6 yards?
Against the Lions.
That's your long gain against the Lions? And until recently, a horrible defense.
Yeah.
Even this season, first half of the season, horrible.
The pass defense.
But they started, the pass defense. That's
by the way, run defense is number one again.
They do two things well. They stop the run, and they throw the ball to Evans and Godwin. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what they do.
Now, here's one for you. You were talking about, you know, Winston's strong of mind, maybe too strong of mind, and how he has a cornerback's mentality. He doesn't want to throw picks. He admits that. You can tell it may bother him.
But he doesn't get gun-shy.
Now, here's a word for you. I thought of this word today.
Oh, this is going to be a doozy.
I thought of this word today in describing Jameis' mentality. When you throw a pick, okay, I'm going to keep firing. If this word is used in a negative connotation, it's bad, but not very bad. But if this is used in a positive connotation, this word is powerful. And I just thought of this word
today.
Don't
say this word if you can't spell it, DeKemper. Can you spell it?
I'm pretty sure I can.
Go.
The word is, Jameis's mindset is audacity.
Audacity. That's a very audacious statement over there, Lee. In other words, dare to be audacious. Dare to be great in a way. How much of a success do you throw down to the elite status of Evans and Godwin? You know, Brett Perryman stepped up last week. Winston didn't have any trouble finding him. Mm-hmm. You called him the DeSean Jackson that they never had. That's not a bad line, Lee.
If you think about it, he is. He's producing more than DeSean Jackson.
And big plays.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised. Steve is, what's my co-conspirator at JoeBucksFan.com, but Steve wrote about it. That Jameis, you know, The biggest knock on Jameis outside of picks has been, oh, he can't throw deep. That's no longer the case. He leads the league in throwing deep.
No question about it.
And who's one of those guys? Perriman.
Now, look, Lee, nobody I know, and I mean nobody, in the Tampa Bay media, maybe in the national media, is so attuned or is more attuned than you are and Steve in terms of what people are saying all across America, maybe even past American boundaries, what they're saying about the Tampa Bay Bucks. And
you mean like the PFF frauds in their Irish dorm room in Dublin?
And mostly what they're saying now about Jameis Winston, because most of the conversation is about Winston with the contract status. Lee, what have you noticed in the last 3 or 4 weeks about the tone of those national conversations about Winston?
I've noticed two ex-NFL suits, one of which we know quite well, who used to work in this building. Well, not this building, but the other one, but the original one, but place. They flipped. They're like, well, yeah, you have to sign.
They had been out front. You can't re-sign this guy.
Pat Kerwin and Michael Lombardi. And Pat Kerwin has flipped. Now, Kerwin is uncomfortable because if you re-sign a quarterback, you're going to have to pay a quarterback.
His partner, Jim Miller, is not a Winston fan.
He was on the fence all season long. And 2 weeks ago, he's like, I can't deal with this anymore. That was before James started putting up 400-yard games. And so that turned Kerwin. And Michael Lombardi, he on his podcast, GM Shuffle, he said it very succinctly, something I've been saying all year. Let's say you want to move on from James. Who are you going to get? Who's out there? Nobody. That's better than James. And his cohort on his podcast, mentioned Mariota. And Lombardi's like, Mariota?
Oh, come on.
And this is a direct quote. And I apologize that I'm going to use a four-letter word. This is a direct quote.
I thought you just used Audacity. Now you're going to use a four-letter word. All right.
And Lombardi said he can't do half the shit James does.
What are you noticing about Light's predecessor, Mr. Mark Dominic? How's he been weighing in on Winston?
He said it's done deal. He's coming back.
So. You know, Lee, I'm gonna say something right now. We said it on the other podcast. We might have jumped the gun, Lee. We're trying to parse Arians at the podium. Sometimes he just blurts something out,
which is
great. And you and I both heard him say, Shaq Barrett's not going anywhere. And we both kind of interpreted that like, well, if you're going to be that definitive, that probably means you got to franchise him because you're in control of that. Mm-hmm. And in terms of negotiations, you know, you're not fully in control. There's two sides to the negotiation. Exactly. If you do the franchise,
it's done.
Barrett has no options.
Well, he does.
So I think maybe, but maybe we're reading too much into that.
By the way, Dominic said, absolutely the Bucks will franchise Jameis. These people, they're overlooking or aren't aware, which very well could be, of Shaq Barrett. It's not as simple, okay, we'll franchise Jameis, we'll pay Jameis. It's not a black and white issue because, again, if you franchise Jameis, then you got to negotiate with Drew Rosenhaus, who represents Shaq Barrett. You and I know, and anybody who works in the NFL knows for a fact, Rosenhaus is drooling at a chance to get Shaq Barrett on free agent because all bets are off. Who knows? Someone might drop $30 million on the guy.
He could argue that Shaq Barrett, I know this sounds crazy. Mm-hmm. It sounds absolutely ludicrous from where Barrett came from.
Yeah.
But a year later, in the hands of Drew Rosenhaus, he might try to argue he should be the highest paid linebacker in professional football.
I could hear Rosenhaus say
it. I could hear him say it.
Yeah, I could too. I could. And of course, a lot of our listeners are like, oh my gosh, they're throwing up. But that's the way agents, they aim high. Yeah.
They'll have a little pamphlet, and a pamphlet will say 18 sacks.
Yeah.
That's what it's going to say.
It's sort of like when you sell your house. You're not going to give a guy a discount. You're going to throw out a figure high and hope the guy bites.
You work your way down.
Yeah, I can hear Rosenhaus saying that. You know, that and nasally voice. He has a hyper-nasally voice.
When do they make their move on Godwin, Lee? At what point? He's a potential free agent 2021. We're not there yet. He's under contract for next season. No reason to panic. But, you know, Mike Evans was also under contract when they gave him an extension, and a healthy extension it was. Are they in any rush to take care of Chris Godwin?
They shouldn't be, and I say this not to be disparaging in any way, shape, or
form. I don't think it's a question of, well, you got to show me more. I don't think that's the question.
Well, essentially, the way I look at it with Godwin, let's cross that bridge when you come to it. They're not there yet. They got to worry about Shaq. They have to worry about Jameis. And if I'm Godwin, if I want to stay here at all, I want to make sure Jameis is here. Because, again, we go back to what Michael Lombardi said. Who else is out there? Nobody in the broken down Philip Rivers? No. So if I'm Godwin, I'm going to make sure Jameis is here before I resign.
So you're not thrilled with an Andy Dalton possibility. You're not overwhelmed by it.
I just saw 10 minutes ago, I just saw an article someone wrote, and they backed it up with stats, that Andy Dalton is synonymous with bad football. And they had all the stats.
He had some good years with the Bengals. And the Bengals had some successful seasons. But they were a good team.
Yeah.
They had a lot of talent.
I don't. You couldn't say he carried them.
No, you wouldn't say he carried them.
No. Whereas Jameis, he carried the team yesterday. You know, or Sunday, I should say.
So, Godwin, you're not in any rush. You're not in any great rush.
You want to take care of him, but there's a couple of potholes you have to navigate first before you can get to that end of the driveway.
You know, Lee, I wrote a column on Tuesday, and I made this point about two-thirds of the way. It was all about Evans and Godwin going forward. One guy's 26, one guy's 23. I mean, imagine having a tandem like that.
That's 5-6
and
years.
May not even reach their peak yet.
Yeah.
You know, one guy's on a Hall of Fame trajectory, and the other guy just keeps getting better by leaps and bounds. He's on Evans' coattail. Yeah. Evans looks in the rearview mirror, he sees Godwin. But, Lee, this is another point to the story. I didn't even realize it while I was writing it until I started writing it. And I got to the midway point and I said, wait a minute. Here's another important point. You'll back me up 100% because it's not an audacious claim, Lee. They're not divas.
They're no, not
divas.
At all.
They're not prima donnas. How refreshing is that, Mr. DeKemper?
Oh, big time.
Two elite receivers that are not divas.
Yeah, it's great. And I said on a previous podcast that, you know, there's two positions that Light sure has shown, or at least his staff has shown, they know what the heck they're doing. One is linebackers, another is wide receivers. And you know what? You can throw Perriman in that mix. I talked to Perriman today, and he is soft-spoken as they come. And he's like, man, he's been asked this multiple times. He was asked this again today. You know, why did the corner turn for you? And he said, I think it's all the extra work I put in with Jameis. Now, divas won't normally say that.
Arian says it's getting more opportunities. There's got to be more to it than that.
Sure, that helps. Justin Watson has no ego. Scotty Miller. I don't talk to Scotty Miller that much. And come to think
of it. But they don't have a body of work, Lee. These guys have a body of work.
Sure. Well, O.J. Howard, does he have much of ego? No. He's got a body of work. Cam Brate, he's got no ego at all, man. He's got a body of work. The whole group, you know, I know we mixed in tight ends there. But the whole group has that mentality. I don't know if that was a trait that Light's staff highlights when they're analyzing a player. I don't know, but if it is, good, and keep it up. But like you said, it's very rare to have these kind of receivers and they have no ego.
Look what happened with the Steelers, Lee, and in some ways it buried the Steelers, except that Tomlin's done a fabulous job to keep them in playoff contention. They started 1-4. They could have had a 4-12 season. Look what happened with Antonio Brown when he saw Juju Schuster getting his catches. He went crazy.
Yeah.
He went crazy. I don't see that from Mike Evans.
Zero.
And Godwin second in the league in receiving yards behind. Now, there's only one Michael Tomlin. This guy is so good.
Yeah.
You can't say enough about the guy.
They don't take him out.
His consistency is off the charts, Thomas. And he didn't waver at all when Bridgewater went in. He didn't dip at all.
No.
You know, if Jackson wasn't having this kind of crazy season, I'd consider Michael Thomas for league MVP. I vote for the AP awards. I vote for the big awards. Look, Lamar Jackson's going to win it, you know, unless he falls on his butt the last 2 weeks. But they have an offensive player of the year award. I might give that to Michael Thomas.
Well, you know what?
He might set the single season record late for catches.
Well, you talk about MVP and Thomas. If you did vote for that and you told your peers, your comrades, I don't think any of them would mock you for that. It's not an outrageous thought.
Hey, speaking of Godwin, Lee, I'll run this past you. This hit me during the story, too. Could you make a very, very credible argument? I mean strong. Godwin's the greatest draft pick Jason Light's ever made, all things considered.
Yeah, because he's third-round pick.
Everybody knew about Mike Evans. If he didn't go 7, he was going to go 10. This guy was the 11th wide receiver.
Oh, really? 11th.
Taken in the 2017 draft. Once in a while, you got to throw a light of kudo.
Yeah, well, that...
Let's not overdo it.
Yeah, that's...
But let's give him his props.
Yeah, I didn't know that Godwin was
11th receiver.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
And they're different. That's what I love about him and Evans. They're different. Evans is more big play. He's always going to average more yards per catch. Godwin's a lot better after the catch to bring down. Mm-hmm. Evans doesn't have that yards after catch. He's never had it, Lee. If you're looking for one knock on Evans, that would be it.
Yeah, and that's, you know, I got to be honest. That's nitpicking.
He's so good. That's nitpicking.
Yeah. I think it is nitpicking.
Yeah. So I
he's got 7 40-yard plus catches this year. That's a big number for Evans. And he's going to miss the last 3 or 4 games.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a big number.
That's just it. Look at the yards both these guys put up, and they missed the last, well, Godwin last 2.5 games, Evans the last 3 games.
Let's talk about this game for a second, Lee. Let's think about how Leftwich might have to adjust his game plan. Lee, I hate to say this. It kills me to say it. He might have to run the ball more. I mean, Lee, what do you do? What do you do? Because they'll focus on Perryman, and they'll take their chances with the other guys. Is this a case where the tight ends have to step up?
Well, of course. And here's what I would do. Well, first I'll tell you what Jameis said. You know, Jameis said he went up to Cam Brate and O.J. Howard. He said, you guys are getting a rock.
When did he say that?
This week. Okay. This week.
All right.
You guys are getting a rock because of all the injuries.
If they ever needed O.J. Howard in a game, this is the game.
I talked to Cam Brate in the locker room. And I asked him, did you have this conversation with Jameis? Oh, yeah. So what do you think? And he said, well... So 3 of our top 4 receivers are down. Somebody's got to get the ball if you're going to throw it, and which is true. And to me, this is a challenge for Leftwich. The Bucs offense, through much of the year, didn't pass the eye test, even though they were putting up results. It's like you look, you watch the game, it's like this offense is sputtering. But then you look at the numbers, like, whoa, wait a minute here. But I've always criticized Leftwich, and I haven't been the only one. But I just, it's frustrating that he doesn't get the tight ends involved in the offense that much. Sometimes he will, not very often. Well, you know what? Gosh darn it, when 3 of your top 4 receivers are down, this is the time to start getting these guys involved. What I would love to see, I don't know if it'll happen, I'd love to see it. And to me, it makes all the sense in the world. But again, I don't know if Leftwich has the capability of doing it as far as being creative or if he wants to. O.J. Howard at slot. I think he would do so well in the slot position. He's a complete mismatch for cornerbacks.
And you know who might be trying to cover him? Mr. Vernon Hargraves.
Forget about it.
Mr. DeKemper. Forget about it. What are you, Donnie Brasco? Forget about it.
Forget about it. Ain't happening. But it makes sense. You got these two tight ends. They're Pro Bowl quality. They're Pro Bowl caliber. They're Pro Bowl talent. Why not use them? That's always been my issue with Leftwich. Last couple weeks, I've shut up about Leftwich because you can't argue with the results. You just can't. Like I said earlier about Mike Evans and his yak, that's nitpicky. Well, to kvetch about, you like that word, you kvetch about the tight ends not being utilized when your quarterback's putting up 450 yards and you're scoring points, that's nitpicking.
Now, Leon, here come the Texans. I would say Deshaun Watson's an elite quarterback. I don't say he's top 3, but he's elite.
Better than James.
He's elite. And they have a receiver in DeAndre Hopkins. He never drops a ball, Lee. He came up big last week in the biggest game of the year at Nashville, where they beat a hot team. And they led from start to finish. Mm-hmm. They led 14-0. They were never headed off. I think they tied it at 14, and then Houston went back ahead. And, Lee, you mentioned Will Fuller. He's the deep threat where you can't gang up too much on Hopkins. Here's where I place Hopkins, Lee. I think he's right there with Evans. Mm-hmm. Now, maybe you throw Godwin into that mix.
Michael Thomas.
A.J. Green, if he's healthy. But all these guys are below Michael Thomas. Okay. But he's right there. He's that good. Hopkins is that good.
Oh, I think he's underrated, honestly.
Yeah, Hopkins is that good. And, you know, Houston, even though it's a big market, they're kind of a nondescript team.
Took the words on me. I was thinking that.
Nondescript.
Well, like a number 4 market.
Wait, you're going to use nondescript and audacity in the same podcast? Outstanding, DeKemper. We don't know that much about the Texans' defense other than J.J. Watt's not there.
Yeah.
Clowney is gone.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, those are two studs, from the line. They got Merciless, who made a big play last week. It's an okay defense. They've given up 30 touchdowns, and they got 80 interceptions. That doesn't tell me that Hargraves has been an instant stud over there. You can't wait for Hargraves to try to cover somebody. You're going to have those binoculars out, and you're going to be focused on Hargraves.
Yeah, I would like to say, I really hope they try to put him on O.J. Howard. Forget it. It ain't happening.
And I hope Buck fans don't boo him the whole game long.
It wasn't like he was a troublemaker. Yeah. Exactly. It wasn't like he was a troublemaker.
I think it's a great opportunity for Winston to silence any remaining skeptics.
I had a couple people text me unsolicited today, and they had nothing to do with the Bucs. They're just good Bucs fans. One guy played in the SEC, and he's a diehard Bucs fan. Anyway, this guy said, if Jameis can pull off a win with all these guys hurt against Houston.
A 9-5 Houston
He's on his way. I agree. You know, I don't know if he can do that because there was somebody, Adam.
Yeah, the odds makers have this almost a pick 'em game. Pick 'em game.
Oh, is that right?
I think so.
Adam Shine said this on SiriusXM Radio. Same channel as
you love the Shine Man. You love the Shine Man.
I still wish he was on NFL Radio. He talks about too much nonsense on his. I love him, but he talks about stuff I care less about on his new channel. He's been there 3 years. When he was on NFL Radio, I loved it. Anyway, Shine said, I can see the Bucks winning, but I don't have the guts to put money on them because of the wide receiver injuries. I think that's fair. The way the Bucks have been playing, it wouldn't be a shock if they beat Houston, but you look at it on paper like, ooh, I don't know, three receivers being out?
Texans have a lot to play for, Lee.
That too.
They have a lot to play for.
Yeah.
But this is a Houston team that I believe got drubbed by the Broncos a couple of weeks ago and then bounced back strong to beat Tennessee.
The Broncos, believe it or not, are playing a lot better ball of late.
Until they went into Arrowhead and got their ass handed to them in the snow. My Chiefs are playing some good football, Lee. Mm-hmm. Look out on the Chiefs. If New England stumbles, and they could lose to Buffalo this week.
Yes.
And if the Chiefs went out, Chiefs get the number two seed. Patriots have to play wild card weekend. How's that going to sit with Mr. Belichick and Brady?
When's the last time he had to do that?
You know, I don't believe they've ever won a Super Bowl when they haven't had a bye.
Is that first round bye.
Yeah, yeah. So wow. that could tell the tale right there.
Justin Watson told me he expects a lot of snaps come Saturday. Your thoughts?
Well, I would expect nothing less. You don't want to wear out Perryman. And I think with all the focus that Perryman is going to attract with the two hamstring brothers on the sidelines, you know, the Perryman will be the natural focus for Houston's secondary. Everybody else is unproven. Not that Perryman's got a long body of work. But, you know, they sort of filmed last week's game and they saw him crack the end zone three times. That gets your attention. So that's where the Justin Watsons of the world come in. I don't think the Bucs are down on their young receivers necessarily. Look, there's only, how many times have we heard it? Cutter used to say it all the time. There's only one ball.
Yeah.
And, you know, Godwin and Evans have been so prolific, it's not enough to go around. And you got to throw Perryman his share too. These guys are going to have their day. That day could come Saturday. By the way, Lee, that gives you a Sunday off to watch the NFL ticket. When you're normally at a Bucks game or you're focused all on the Bucks game. Lee, don't tell me we're getting Dick Stockton Saturday. I'll go crazy.
No, it's NFL Network.
Well, who's coming in? I want to know who's coming in.
Well, Rich Eisen is going to do play-by-play. Rich Eisen, Nate Burleson, Joe Thomas. Those are the three guys.
Well, where's Kay Adams? Where's Kay
Adams? I've been told this, but I haven't confirmed
it. I heard you have a room secured for her at the Grand Hyatt.
Well, Kay Adams is supposed to make an appearance in Tampa Saturday.
Oh, now you're going to have a field pass somehow, and you're getting down there.
Well, you're talking
now
about
now I'm going to be on the field because, you know.
Saturday?
Tailgate Saturday.
Well, I'll have to be locked up in a room, all right. Called Hillsborough County.
No, wait a minute. We're not doing tailgate Saturday. Right? We're doing tailgate Sunday.
Well, the room I'm going to have, if Kay Adams is here, it's called Orient Road Jail.
Oh, jeez. You're still thinking about those two Carolina cheerleaders from 10 years ago.
No, that grossed me out. That grossed me out.
Was Joe Bucks fan around for that?
Yes. Oh, of course, going crazy.
I imagine you posting those mugshots every freaking day, DeKemper.
Well, we do it once a year. Whenever the Panthers come to town, we post those mugshots.
You don't miss a trick, do you? Now, what's going on with our standings, Lee? I'm dying a slow death. And you were with me last week. Picking the Lions, we look silly right now.
Yeah, I'm one ahead.
Now, at least I have a reason. I have an excuse, Lee. Buck Nation has spoken.
They don't want you picking
them. In one voice. Kaufman, you're a jinx. By the way, I am a jinx. What did I say a couple weeks ago? How healthy this team is.
Yeah.
People are killing me. I can't do anything right, Lee. But I am leading the tailgate Sunday standings because we pick five games a week. And I'm one game ahead of Ricky Reynolds with... like 2 weeks left in the season. Scott Smith's two games behind. So let's see if I can hold on. But as far as picking Buck games, I can't stop now, Lee. They're on a four-game winning streak. What am I going to do? The only question is, by what margin are the Texans going to win? Lee, I know this sounds crazy. You know what? I think this is where the Buck prolific offense takes a little downturn. I'm going to say 23-16 Texans.
I'll go 32-20 Texans. I can't pick on the Bucks because I'm the same way like you.
Jameis with a good game?
Well, I'll ask about this. I don't know if people are aware of it or not. Jameis needs to average 214 yards the next two games to hit the 5,000-yard plateau.
It's a strong plateau.
Which is only, if I recall correctly, 8 quarterbacks have done.
Brees might have done it multiple times.
I have.
Yeah. By the way, did Brees really go 28 for 29? And I believe he did.
I didn't.
And he's mad as hell about the one he missed.
Yeah, I didn't watch the game. I know at halftime he had only missed one pass.
He was fantastic against the Niners when they lost. Yeah. Back to back, Brees has been fantastic.
On fire. Yeah. Your thoughts on Jameis? He only needs to average 214 yards.
All right, Lee.
Can he do it?
I don't.
All the receivers out.
Yeah, of course he can do it. Because they can't run the ball, and he's going to throw 40 times, especially if Houston gets a lead. Lee, I've said this before. I don't want this to come out too stringent here, but a couple of guys that have led the league in passing yards, I don't want you getting hung
Jeff
up on
George.
It. Matt Schaub once did it. He did.
Yeah.
Matt Schaub. And Javier just he just ran off the road in Panama. I hope he didn't tumble into the rocks over there. Matt Schaub. So... Lee DeKemper, I don't want you getting too hung up on passing yards. Yeah, it's nice. I'm more into the points. And on that regard, I'm more impressed with what Winston's doing than the passing yards. But he's going to get the 5,000.
You know what? Wow, okay. Ladies and gentlemen, you've heard that. Jameis will get the 5,000. Now, here's one for you, Ira. And this gets lost. In Jameis having that great game in Detroit. And by the way, Michael Lombardi, when he's saying you have to keep Jameis on his GM shuffle, he unloaded on Matt Patricia. He said Matt Patricia's running the high school offense. He says it's soft. And then he said this, and then I'm going to use the same word that I'm going to quote Lombardi, the same word that he used earlier. So any children are listening, hold their ears. Lombardi said Patricia's defense with the Lions, slow as shit. What gets lost in that win over the Lions by just about everybody is Jameis was thrown with a bum thumb.
An itty-bitty bum thumb.
Yeah, he was an Arians.
There's itty-bitty. No such thing as an itty-bitty fracture, Lee.
Well, that subject came up in Jameis' press conference, the thumb. And first off, he said, the injury is going to get as good as it's going to get, meaning he's going to play with this the rest of the year, if he plays the rest of the year, whatever.
And
he
it
has.
Won't get better till after the season.
Exactly. It won't get better till after the season. That was the one that really jumped out at me. And another one he said, and I want your thoughts on this as well. He was asked, like, hey, you didn't throw a whole lot last week. It's getting late in the season. Sort of like a baseball pitcher, which Jameis was. Sort of like a baseball pitcher, when it gets close to October, you shut it down for a while. And he was asked, was his arm refreshed? Is that one of the reasons, even though he did have that thumb injury, that he was slinging it like he did? He said no. He said no.
Well, Lee,
that's hard to believe.
Talking about practice, and here they are in week 15. Normally, I would say that Winston doesn't need to throw very much during this week and next week. However, there's another factor.
Russ?
He's going to be throwing to different receivers now.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's got to get the rhythms with the Watsons of the world. Ish, he's on board now. Winston doesn't know anything about him. He's got to learn his habits and what kind of cuts the guy makes and what kind of routes the guy runs and does he corner off his patterns. He doesn't have anything to prove throwing to Godwin and Evans on a Wednesday afternoon. Zero. But now that they're gone, and also you're saving his arm by giving him a break, I'm not sure Arians is going to do that this week and next because he's not going to have his familiar targets. Now, as far as the tight ends, he's had Howard for 3 years. He's had Brait for a long time. Not too worried about some kind of connection with them. But these young receivers, they need work. And they don't need work with Ryan Griffin. They need work with the guy that's going to be feeding them the ball on Saturday. So I think the timing is lousy because otherwise, especially this late in the season, and given the itty-bitty fracture, which we know is not itty-bitty, you can't bring this guy down. I mean, I said it last week. If you leave it up to Winston, I don't care how bad that fracture was. He was going to want to play.
Well, even when you've been critical of James, you always said, this guy's got a drive. It's unbelievable.
Work ethic, drive, competitive nature. I am still struck by how easily, at least on the surface, but it's not easy, but on the surface, how easily he goes on to the next play after an interception. It's
just like a cornerback.
It's quite an asset in his portfolio. I don't think you can teach it. He's got a lot of confidence in himself, Lee.
Well, Arians actually said earlier in the year, he sensed that Jameis was starting to get scared to throw the ball. Because everybody and their brother were screaming about the picks.
And they were losing.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go. They were losing. And Arians just told him, keep firing. But he said at one point he thought Jameis was starting to get scared. It was starting to get to him.
You know, Lee, I did Tampa 2 Identity with Derek Brooks today. And I posed this question to 55, who's about as good a student of the game as you can have. And I said, you know, Derek, all during this season, during the 2-6 and the 3-7 and the defense getting strafed, the pass defense.
I love that verb.
Strafed. He never lost confidence in the Jamel Deans and the Carlton Davises and the Buntings of the world. He never did. All he was saying was, you got to go through this gauntlet. He never said they don't have it. He never said ultimately they're not players. It's a talent question. He never said that. He said it was about miscommunication, getting in line with what the coaching scheme, what the coaches are asking of you. And I commended him. I said, how did you know that these guys were going to turn it around? It's not an exact science, Lee.
Sure.
I mean, you look at Jamel Dean in September and to be able to say, This guy is going to lead the league in passes defense? I mean, that would be outrageous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Successful passes defense. You know, and so that's why Brooks is Brooks, Lee.
You got to ask this to Brooks. I'm mentioning this on this podcast because I just think it's an interesting subject. And Brooks would be a perfect guy to ask about this. We always hear these guys, the coaches, communication. It's like, I know that was a cover-up. It was communication, all right, but it meant so much. And I think I can say it now. I'm not going to say who told it to me, but I had it confirmed by more than one people. Had it confirmed by someone that works in the football operations. Had it confirmed by a guy who was starting on the Bucs defense. That when they said the defense, communicate, they couldn't freaking understand Quan Alexander. That was the communication, which is basically communication. It really meant that. They couldn't freaking understand Quan Alexander when he called the play. So you got guys out there freelancing because they have no idea what freaking play was called. No wonder their defense was horrible. Horrible. But the reason why I bring this up is, I don't know, I saw enough clips that I think I saw the whole damn show. They put all these clips out on social media. The sit-down that Saban and Belichick had.
Yeah.
I heard that was fantastic.
It was a good show.
You saw it.
Yeah.
Remember the part on there where they're talking about communication and so how much they hate social media? And Saban said, you have to learn to talk with each other, not on a machine,
yes,
but with each other, because you're going to have to do that on the field. And then Belichick was saying, that's absolutely right. And we keep hearing these guys' communication. I wonder, and I've been told by an NFL executive a couple years ago, he told me this, that the NFL spends millions of dollars, and I mean millions, to do studies to try to find out how they can best get through to players. You know, like a teacher-pupil type of, you know, like, you know, you always hear players about the room when they go with their coaches, and they're actually getting coached. And I was told this study, one of the things this study found out was, you got to put everything on a screen because these guys grow up with a screen in front of their face.
Communication skills have been diminished.
That's only interpersonal communication.
These are kids coming out of college.
As a society, interpersonal communications has deteriorated because we're used to texting, we're used to social media, that type of thing. I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm just saying it is.
That's what makes this podcast so special. We're gabbing.
Yeah.
We're gabbing. We don't have phones in front of us and laptops in front of us.
Although, well, I do have a laptop.
Although, you got yours right
but,
there.
But what I would love for you to ask Brooks on that, because his son plays at Florida State, and it's a perfect, it'd be a perfect person to ask because he is right in the middle of it. And I'm going to ask Arians at some point this. When these guys are saying communication, are they talking about something technical, or are they talking about actual, literal communication? Like, these guys are used to texting, and they're not used to talking one-on-one with people.
I think there's something to be said for that.
I don't know that. I'm guessing there is.
This whole social media issue, Lee, it all comes down to one word. It's audacious. See you next week.